Science of Deduction, Episode 1, Pampered Hydraulics. Adapted by Alexa Chipman from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Terry Cooper as Sherlock Holmes, and David MacGyver as Dr. John Watson. Another one for you, Doctor. Justin, thought you should see him straight away.
I'm Dr. John Watson. Call me John, and blimey, your thumb! It's missing.
Noticed, have you?
Happens often, does it?
Not really. Let me get this scarf out of the way. I shoved it on to stop the bleeding.
Looks like the finger was chopped off with a meat cleaver. Not a pretty sight. Reminds me of Afghanistan.
Samurai sword. If it were up to me, every bloke with an ASBO would be locked up permanently.
I've had an ASBO. It wasn't my fault. It was Sherlock. Well, never mind. Have you been immunised against tetanus in the last 10 years?
Yeah.
Oxycodone every 4 to 6 hours should help with the pain. Let me just get this sewn up, and I'll need you to take some Keflex twice daily for 10 days. Have you gone to Scotland Yard yet?
No. I mean, with all I've been through, a thumb hacked off, and I don't think the police would believe me. It's a weird business.
Once I've got you sorted, I know someone who could help. Sees things other people don't. He's my flatmate. Bit odd, really, but he'll hear you out. Name's Sherlock Holmes.
I've seen his website. Do you know him?
Unfortunately, yes. I'll call a cab. You've done a fine job bracing the hand. You should have been a surgeon.
It's a question of hydraulics, you see. I'm an engineer.
A bit of lunch would do you good. Knowing Sherlock, we'd better phone for a takeaway. There's a good Chinese place down the street from us.
Great. And I'll feel better after telling my story. I think the police would only laugh at it.
Sherlock, you haven't moved. At least have an egg roll. He's impossible when he gets like this.
And now for your tale. Let me have the facts in proper order, but do not hesitate to rest if you need to.
Thanks, but after John's bandage and a bit of lunch, I feel like a new man. I suppose I'd better tell you a bit more about who I am.
I see that you are an orphan, have no girlfriend, are an engineer, and have recently left an established firm to enter into the business for yourself, a situation you now regret and are considering reapplying.
Blimey! Is he always like this?
You have no idea.
You're absolutely right. At first, having my own office felt like fresh air and liberty. But after 2 months, I've only had 3 consultations. And my gross takings amount to only £270. Every day, from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m, I waited behind my desk. Until I was about to give up and send my CV out. Yesterday, just as I was considering shutting up for the day, I finally had a client.
You're recommended to me as a fine engineer. Not only proficient in his profession, but also discreet and capable of keeping a secret.
Oh, thanks. Who was it?
I'd better not reveal who just now. You also mentioned you have no family and live alone.
What has that got to do with it?
Nothing, nothing. But you understand that secrecy in this matter is essential. Can't have you chattering on to a girlfriend.
Of course. You can depend upon it.
You promised then?
Definitely.
Absolute and complete silence before, during, and after? No reference to some matter at all, either in word, email, or text?
That's what I just said.
Excellent. How would £50 an hour suit you?
Quite well.
I will include the travel time in that, of course. It is a bit out in the country. I just want your opinion about the hydraulic stamping machine, which has got out of gear. Show us what is wrong, and we'll soon set it right ourselves.
Sounds lovely.
We'll need you to come out by train tonight.
Where to?
Iford in Berkshire. It's near Oxfordshire, within 7 miles or so of Reading. There is a train that should bring you there around 18:15.
Very good.
I'll meet you with a car.
How long a drive?
Oh, around 7 miles.
I need somewhere to spend the night.
Don't worry, you can stop at the house.
Couldn't I come tomorrow morning?
If you don't want the job.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Of course I can come tonight.
I've aroused your curiosity now. The price is for Fuller's earth. I found a small deposit on my property, but the vein ran into a neighbor's property as well. I have been secretly digging it out and pressing it to sell. If they were to find out, a nasty legal struggle would commence. You understand?
I suppose so.
If it were known we had engineers coming out, it would lead to questions and goodbye to all our plans. I shall expect you at Iford at 18:15, and not a word to anyone.
That's a bit weird. I thought Fuller's earth was dug out like gravel.
Please, continue. I presume you went to the station.
The platform was deserted, but there was a car waiting, just like he'd said.
Did you observe the colour?
Yes, the headlights were on and it was blue.
Clean or mud splattered?
Let me think for a moment. Yes, it was clean. Hardly a speck on it.
Thank you. I'm sorry to have interrupted you. Please continue. Your statement is most interesting.
We drove for at least half an hour. The colonel said it was only 7 miles, but from the rate we were going, it was nearer 12. He kept staring at me and the road was very bad. We lurched constantly. Through the whole drive, he never said a word.
Here we are.
It's pitch black. I can't see a thing. Don't you have a porch light?
What are you doing?
My mobile has a torch app. It will help you see the lock.
Good idea. Shine it as the keyhole. Perfect.
Right, where's the light switch?
There is none. It's an old house, too expensive to install electricity. That's why we have a hydraulic machine. Besides, Elise enjoys it. Here she is now, with the lantern.
Wir besprechen das gestern?
Nein, musst du.
Huh?
Go back inside, Elise.
Nein.
I am sorry about that. Could you wait here a minute? I'll fetch my secretary and we'll have a look at that machine.
I waited in the half-light my mobile cast. The house was eerily quiet. I could not help but wonder what had brought such an odd assortment of people to the English countryside.
Go! Do not stay here. There is nothing good you can do.
I haven't seen the machine yet.
It is not worth your while. Leave now. Nothing is stopping you. For God's sake, get away from here before it is too late.
I came all the way out here in the middle of the night. I'm not leaving without getting paid.
And she seemed genuinely worried about you.
Yes, it was like a horror film. Flickering lantern light, vague threats. I thought she was winding me up.
This is my secretary, Anna Ferguson.
All right there.
Odd, I was under the impression that I shut this door. I was worried you'd get cold.
On the contrary, I opened it because the room was stuffy.
We'd better go on to business. If you'd be so good as to follow me this way, sir.
Shouldn't we be going outside?
No, it's in the house.
You dig in the house?
No, it is only a fair way to compress it. But never mind, just examine the workings and let us know what is wrong. Here, take the lamp, you're wasting batteries, though I doubt you'll have any signal out here.
No, loss of signal before even reaching the station.
This is our press. It is a bit cramped. Anna, you'd better wait outside. We are now actually inside the hydraulic press. The ceiling of this small chamber is really the end of the descending piston and comes down this massive force onto this metal door. There are several lateral columns of water outside which receive, transmit, and multiply it in a manner which is familiar to you. It has lost some of its force, however, and feels a bit stiff.
Well, it is gigantic for one of its type. That's all right. Slight leakage on this valve. Here's the culprit. One of the bands isn't fitting the socket. You'll just need to replace it and the machine will be sorted. Of course, this machine is a bit powerful for simply compressing dirt.
What are you doing?
This floor. All I see is a metal deposit. No earth at all.
We had it cleaned recently.
No. Then the deposits would have been removed. Really, I'd be able to help you better if I knew what this thing was actually built for.
Very well. You shall know about the machine.
What are you doing? Let me out!
Hello? Colonel! Let me out!
They turned the press on while you were inside it.
I, of all people, knew exactly what was going to happen to me. There was enough force, even in its damaged state, to grind me into pulp. I flattened myself down, listening to the remorseless clanking. The dark ceiling was descending by the light of the lantern.
Quick, through here! I have removed a panel of wood. Hurry! They'll be here any moment. Run, this way!
So we're down to the east passage. After some.
There is a window here. It is high, but I think you can make it.
You want me to jump out of a window?
There is no time for anything else.
That was when I spied the colonel racing into the room, brandishing a sharpened samurai sword. I flung open the window and clambered onto the sill, but the colonel gave Elise a savage slap. I didn't want to leave her.
Fritz, remember your promise after last time? You said, never again. He won't say a word, please.
You're mad, Elise. He has seen too much.
I didn't let go in time, as Dr. Watson can testify. I was shaken, but not hurt by the fall, so I picked myself up and rushed off among the bushes as hard as I could run. The dizziness overcame me, though, and I managed to wrap up the wound with my scarf just before passing out in the middle of some rose bushes. When I came to, it was already morning. I was soaking with dew and blood from my thumb. When I sat up, I realised the house and garden were gone. I was lying at the train station, half dazed. I staggered inside and asked about the next train out. As soon as I got back to London, I stopped by the nearest doctor, and here I am. What do you make of it?
Sherlock, for the last time, can you please use your own computer? And how did you guess the password again? I changed it.
Here's an article that will interest you. It appeared on all the news sites about a year ago. Lost, Jeremiah Hayling, aged 26, engineer specializing in hydraulics. Left his flat at 10 o'clock at night, has not been heard of since. Was dressed in... well, never mind that. Ha! That represents the last time that the colonel needed to have his machine overhauled, I think.
Bloody hell. Then, when the girl said...
Undoubtedly. It is quite clear that the colonel is a cool and desperate man who is absolutely determined that nothing should stand in his way. Every moment is precious. So, if you feel up to it, I shall phone Lestrade and we'll stop by Scotland Yard before starting for Aford.
Thank you for both your help.
A man has just nearly been murdered and you're playing with your mobile, Sherlock.
You claim the place must be within 12 miles?
According to the length of the drive, as reported by Mr. Hatherley here...
And you think they brought you back all that way whilst unconscious?
What I don't get is why they didn't kill you while you were in the garden. Unless the git finally listened to Elise.
I doubt it. I've never seen a man so set on anything in my life.
Radius of 12 miles. I wish we had a direction to start our search.
I know the direction precisely.
Really? I suppose you've already formed your opinion. Well, I'm for south. The country is more deserted there.
I have a vague impression it was east.
I'm for north, because there aren't any steep hills. And Victor said they were on relatively flat ground.
You are all wrong. This is where we'll find him.
In Iford? Well, that's where we're starting from.
What about the long drive?
What about the clean car? If it had gone 12 miles of country roads on its drive out, there would have been splashes, or at least a layer of dust and the inevitable contact with insects.
Then the drive was a ruse.
We have here a gang of counterfeit coiners, whose base of operation is near the train station.
We've been trying to track them for months and found no trace. This time, we've got them. There was a house on fire, over there.
Yes, broke out during the night and now the whole place is in cinders.
Whose house was it? A German with a thin nose?
No, an American. Some sort of doctor. She had a patient I've seen about that could fit that description.
That's it, that's the house. There's the gravel drive and the rose bushes. What's left of the window up there is where I jumped from.
I believe you have had your revenge on them. It was the crushed lamp which started the fire, and no doubt the hunt for you caused them to forget that flames in contact with an old wooden house are very likely to cause such an accident.
They'll be long gone by now.
Oh, yes. They had the car packed with crates, and I think they drove off toward Reading.
That still doesn't explain how I was taken to the station.
From the prints around these rose bushes, I believe it is fairly clear. You were carried by two persons, one who had remarkably small feet, and the other wearing the sort of shoes worn by female professionals. It appears that Elise and Anna conveyed you out of danger. The walk to the station would not have been overburdensome for two active young people.
Well, I've lost my thumb and what would have been a rather large fee. What have I gained?
Experience. Indirectly, it may be of value, you know. I do believe, armed with this tale, you may come into many a free pint by your telling of it.
Featuring the voice talent of Gareth Bowley as Detective Inspector Lestrade, Michael Hudson as Victor Hatherley, Mike Hennessy as Colonel Lysander Stark, Tanya Milojevic as Elise, Gwendolyn Jensen-Woodard as Anna Ferguson, and Alexa Chipman as Nurse. Music by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. This is a Misfits Audio production. Please visit MisfitsAudio.com for more information. Released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license in 2010.